Everyone must stand in honor of the Holy Scriptures. I will read it to you. Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 24 through 28. So their sons entered and possessed the land. And you subdued before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites. And you gave them into their hand with the kings and the peoples of the land to do with them as they desired. And they captured fortified cities and a rich land, and took possession of houses full of good things, cisterns already hewn, vineyards, olive orchards, and fruit trees in abundance. So they ate and were filled, and became fat and delighted themselves in your great goodness. But despite all this, they were disobedient and rebelled against you. They turned their backs on your law. They killed your prophets who warned them to return to you. And they committed terrible blasphemies. Therefore, you gave them into the hands of their enemies, who made them suffer. And in the time of their suffering, they cried out to you. And you heard them from heaven. And according to your great mercies, you gave them saviors who saved them from the hand of their enemies. But as soon as they were at rest, they again did what was evil in your sight. Then you abandoned them to the hand of their enemies so that they ruled over them. And when they cried out to you again, you heard from heaven, and in your compassion you delivered them time after time. You may be seated. Positive Christianity.
Good morning. Well, this is going to be somewhat of a radical message this morning, as you may have surmised from my lapel button. Today's message is entitled Positive Christianity. The other PC, referring to political correctness. And I guarantee that today's message is not politically correct. Whenever someone speaks of Christians awakening to the vicious cycle just recited in Nehemiah, whoever the symbolic Canaanites at the time may be, and identifies the solution in a positive light, we get a negative backlash because the adversary to Israel does not want to give up control over us to the God of Israel. So they try to get us in a perpetual state of sin through immorality, miscegenation, materialism, etc. One of the reasons why I stand behind this pulpit and preach is to help you, my racial kinsmen, understand that you have been lied to and are being lied to on a daily basis. You might ask, well, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about race, politics, religion, law, and history. Those things that determine the kind of world we live in. I, for one, am not happy, and I'm sure you're not either, with the direction in which our once great nation is going. I see racial aliens and bureaucratic commissars telling me and our race how to live our lives. My God-given liberties are at risk, and your God-given responsibilities are stymied. We have non-whites in government who want the white middle class to pay for their multicultural utopia. Now, the original commitment to secure the blessings of liberty for our posterity has been abandoned. How many days do you have to work to pay taxes for your own destruction? why do we have this politically correct guilt thrust upon us? Why don't we just tell the controlled Jewish media to go to hell? Why don't we just get rid of all this rampant immorality and corruption in our society? The word Kristallnacht comes to mind. What happened to the militia movement after the Waco massacre? Well, that story's not over. No matter how hard the demonizers try to rationalize the mass murder of American citizens and the murder of a congressman who sympathized with the Branch Davidians. Unelected vote scam politicians. Vote scam is a systematic rigging of ballot returns. These politicians demonize their opposition through their fourth branch of government, the news media. To illustrate this, just a couple of weeks ago, now, I wrote this paper in November 2002, and this is before we moved to Kentucky. So it's been some time. But back then, we the people in the state of Washington voted for a reduced $30 license tab fee for the second time. We have the initiative process back in Washington. If the legislators aren't doing their job, the people themselves can get enough signatures to vote on an initiative. And back then, we're being threatened with cutbacks because of the public will in essential services that government is responsible for. Not only that, but at that time, the Negro County Executive up in Seattle wanted to sue the people over this issue. Is it because they don't have the brains to run an efficient government? Or is it because they have a socialist communist agenda? I think these vampires are losing $750 million annually from their license tab fee ripoff for their grandiose scam called public education, which is the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto. Well, we don't need no stinking public education to brainwash our children to feel guilty about being white, nor politically incorrect about positive Christianity. If we were to get rid of the abomination of a liberal conservative dialectic that essentially serves the same master, and privatize the instruction of our young people, we wouldn't have to worry about subsidizing the next generation of PC politically correct tax slaves. If you were the CEO of a computer firm, would you hire people who had incontrovertible expertise or people who had a diploma from a university where they wasted 4 years of their life partying and didn't know half of what someone who was self-taught knows? The one with a piece of paper may be politically correct, but they are the dead weight on a society aspiring great things. The despicable meme of a free college education in this election year of 2016. I'm sure you've heard from the Bernie Sanders camp. To further the wave of socialism into a tsunami communist state is a clear and present danger. It's amazing how the enemies of the white race and Christianity wield their authority. How do they get away with this treason and criminal usurpation against our people? It goes unchallenged, even though the white race is still a majority, although demographically it is dwindling day by day. Our numbers mean nothing, really, if we ignore the real white power in the God of creation, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our rights come from God, not the state. Quote, you have rights antecedent to all earthly governments, rights that cannot be repealed or restrained by human laws, rights derived from the great legislator of the universe. End quote. That was from John Adams, the second president of the United States. Well, such a phenomenon as that happened in the 1930s in Germany, and it was called positive Christianity. Although not too many people have heard of that term, it was well known at the time. The people were fed up with the Canaanites of their day, the Antichrist Jews, the communist agitators, predatory perverts, wicked authoritarians, legalized plunder, thieves, and pampered criminals destroying their nation. Just like what we're looking at in America today. 20 years ago, I wrote in the populist newsletter, the inmates are running the asylum, which is so cliche compared to the pure insanity going on today. Likewise, Germany was on a path of self-destruction until Hitler. Every white Christian American should know why we are blessed or cursed as a nation and as individuals. 2 Chronicles 19:2 gives us the lesson that should we help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord, then the wrath of God shall be upon thee. And when we go to Deuteronomy 28, where we read about the blessings and the curses, we read in the first couple of verses, quote, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of thy God. But then in verse 15 we read, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. We've obviously gone down the wrong path. We are surrounded by murderers and liars, and legalized plunder is the order of the day. Obadiah 121 speaks of saviors in the plural, or guardians of God's word who will come to the Aryan Israel nations and purge the Jews, Esau, Edom, and establishing the government of Christ. Adolf Hitler, whether you like it or not, saved Germany from those who hated Germans because he was a man of God. He remains an enigma to our people, wondering how one man could lead a small organization to political triumph against such incredible odds, being outnumbered by Marxist communist Jewish-infected churches, and an out-financed by Antichrist bankers. Hitler was lawfully voted into office, not because of rigged elections like we have today, but because of the promises of 2 Chronicles 7:14, where we read, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. With the election of Hitler, Germany began to heal. The posterity of Judah repented of the Jew. Germans are the true heirs from the same tribe as Christ, the tribe of Judah, to whom God gave the scepter. But they were lost to their identity, and imposters claimed what didn't belong to them. The Jews fulfilled the prophecy of killing the heir and confiscating his property. And to this day, they war against Christ and Christians and continue their ambitions for global control. The German nation took the aforementioned passage for healing to heart and had a true Christian revival by chasing the money changers out of their national temple. The Volk, or racial kinsmen, undertook the responsibility of a body politic, the called out of God to administrate his laws. This was the essence of the word church, that is, the ecclesia, not as a place to go, but rather a people on the go for Christ. Romans 13:3 instructs Christian leaders to not be a terror to good works, but to the evil. That's why Adolf Hitler continues to strike terror in the hearts and minds of those who wish to destroy the remaining white Christian nations in the world today. Because Adolf Hitler is the one example in the 20th century of a viable alternative to the insidious fruit of democracy and the two-party system of corruption, the uninformed mob building golden calves. Only now, in the 11th hour, as our nation grows dark, racially and spiritually, do white men with clear heads begin to objectively reappraise the National Socialist experience of Hitler's Germany. More importantly, the real genius and enduring legacy of true National Socialism is the calling of our people to the principle of worship of God as being the servitude to and for our race, the 12 tribes of Israel, whom Christ said he came for exclusively. And I'm certainly not referring to the Jews who have stolen our namesake and poisoned the minds of our kinsmen. John, the Revelator, warned us twice about those who would impersonate the tribe of Judah in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. The word Jew and Judah are not synonymous terms, regardless of the King James rabbinic twist. Paul stated this principle of racial exclusivity in Romans 9, 3 and 4, where he spoke to his brethren, quote, "My kinsmen according to the flesh," or race, "who are Israelites, to whom pertains the adoption, the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises." In other words, Paul's brethren were of the same race who are the true Israelites. Positive Christianity is the theological term which constituted actions of the National Socialist Party implemented into law. Point 24 of the National Socialist Party program has the same exact spirit as our First Amendment to the United States Constitution in the context of the white race and Christianity. The former saying, "We demand liberty for all religious denominations in the state insofar as they do not endanger its existence or offend the moral and ethical sense of the Germanic race. And the latter, which we're more familiar with, saying Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Both denomination and religion were understood within the context of Christianity. Common sense would dictate permutations that were contrary to God and His people that would not be tolerated. For example, there will be no Judeo-Christianity in the kingdom of heaven because the first commandment says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Christ is not hyphenated with Jews, and Judaism is the antithesis of Christianity. We owe them nothing but the reward of Revelation 18:6. And, quote, "as much as she," meaning Mystery Babylon, a consortium of Jews and Catholics having religious and economic dominion worldwide, "as much as she had magnified herself and lived wantonly, so much you give her torment and grief." Revelation 18:7. In neither case is the nonsense of separation of church and state implied. In fact, quite the opposite. Incorporating God and government together was the ideal. The similarities between the early first century Christian church and positive Christianity are astounding. Both were called out by God to establish racial and national righteousness. Lord knows, whenever white men assert their God-given directives, the adversaries of the good news will do what the Pharisees, lawyers, and hypocrites do to quench that spirit. National Socialism came to power not in spite of Christianity, but because of Christianity, because of the hand of God. The quest for pure Christianity was the same demand held by Adolf Hitler and the National Socialist Party. Any representation in any other terms is blatantly false and a counterfeit image typical of your Hollywood Jewish movies. As human devils have sought to pervert and deceive men regarding the truth of Christianity, so too do the enemies of God seek to misrepresent true National Socialism. Adolf Hitler and true National Socialism were confident that as the harmful influence of atheistic or religious Jews and Judeo-thinking was removed from society, that all true Christians would return to the pure faith in Jesus Christ. A return to what the first apostolic Christians said and stood for was not only the Protestant cry of Martin Luther, but also the official position of true National Socialism. The German people were earnest, God-fearing Christians, seeking only to implement in the political realm the theology of Christ Himself. It is a historical fact that positive Christianity and National Socialism are one and the same thing. And no amount of sophistry or intellectual cowardice from Masonic Jews or secular humanist will veil or hide the glorious legacy decreed to white men everywhere for all time. Today, white people are enslaved by atheistic TV and movies and Jewish propaganda in the news media, shackled by their own lack of character and honor, sold into bondage of materialistic thinking, and who continue to refuse to be made free by the truth that makes men free, are in critical need to understand this message, so that their spiritual integrity can be restored and favor be found in the divine presence of the Lord. Many shall be called, but few are chosen. There is an endless list of false accusations against Hitler and the movement he proposed, one of which accused them of adhering to the Nordic mythologies of paganism. This is completely false and unfounded. A website called truthforgermans.com has recently reported on the historical scholarship at the university level of the pagan religion of Wotan, also identified with Odinism, Asatru, and the folk gods of the Vikings, being an effeminate transsexual, taking pleasure in bisexual role-playing. Even though most people, especially within the rank and file of white nationalism, think of Vikings as tough, masculine, warrior image, akin to bikers and death metal musicians, the truth is that Wotan had a proclivity for sodomy and the molestation of children. The social aberration of pedophilia was similar to their Greek counterparts, their kinsmen of ancient times, having the same kind of perverse inclinations. And this might explain the Germanic Volkisch movement's worldview of hermaphrodites as being divine beings, which sparked the modern folkish wokeness movement. Unfortunately, most of these modern pagans have an antipathy for Christian identity and a warped acceptance of National Socialism, believing the Jewish lies that Hitler embraced the pagan myths. We all know the criminal mistranslations of the Judeo-Christian establishment, portraying Christ as a long-haired hippie bearing no resemblance to the king high priest of ancient Israel. And because of this slander, Odinism presents a macho alternative to young and impressionable white nationalists. How ironic and embarrassing for this pagan cult that historical researchers have now provided evidence for the priesthood of Odin during the Viking age of 800 to 1200 AD as being anything but machismo, but rather a priesthood practicing the rituals of Baal worship, gender switching, sodomy, pedophilia, and homosexuality as part of their belief in wielding magical powers, much like the Jewish Kabbalah. In the ancient Norse world, such perverts were regarded with disgust. After all, they were Israelite by blood. But the establishment of an occult priestcraft gave them the status whereby the rest of society must have been in awe of them. When the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Proverbs 29:2. This thinly veiled disguise as an Aryan religion was transparent to the new vision of positive Christianity, rejecting the perverse abominations. But looking at the sordid history of Scandinavian mythologies assaulting our race with not only the aforementioned, but the insane afflictions of hallucinogens, human sacrifices, STDs, infanticide, and psychotic violence by a parasitic minority, we can now better understand why our ancestors were more than happy to accept and worship their kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ. And by the same token, conditions were such in Germany circa the 1920s and 30s. That the only way to climb out of the morass of degeneracy was for the truth to make them free. And Adolf Hitler was the man that God chose to lead, to make the clear distinctions between healthy traditions and the disease culture of alien gods giving sanction to perversion. This is what Hitler wrote about German paganism. Quote, "The characteristic thing about these people," meaning the modern-day followers of the early Germanic religion, "is that they rave about the old Germanic heroism, about dim prehistory, stone axes, spear and shield, but in reality are the greatest cowards that can be imagined. For the same people who brandish scholarly imitations of old German tin swords and wear a dress bearskin with bull's horns over their head preach for the present nothing but struggle with spiritual weapons and run away as fast as they can from every communist blackjack," end quote. He also said, quote, "It seems to me that nothing would be more foolish than to reestablish the worship of Wotan, the father of the gods in the German lore. Our old mythology ceased to be viable when Christianity implanted itself. Nothing dies unless it is moribund," end quote. Well, Hitler and other National Socialists were explicit in their contempt of the ancient gods. Alfred Rosenberg exclaimed, "Odin is dead!" And Hitler himself declared that the future must not take the form of a revival of the worship of Wotan. Baldur von Schirach, leader of the Hitler Youth, assured German parents that, quote, "It is my purpose neither to re-erect the forest of Germany's heathen altars and introduce our youth to any kind of Wotan's cult, nor in any way to hand over young Germany to the magical altars of the Herb apostles," end quote. They not only voiced their objections, but applied God's law to the heretics in their midst. The truth is that from the beginning of the Third Reich, Odinist groups were dissolved and properties confiscated. Their leaders were arrested and or exiled. Their pagan books were banned. Former membership in any Odinist organization disqualified anyone from holding rank or office in the National Socialist Party. A large number of pagan practices were banned. And Hitler said, "And so I believe today that my conduct is in accordance with the will of the Almighty Creator. In standing guard against the Jew, I am defending the handiwork of the Lord," end quote. As early as 1922, Hitler said, "My feelings as a Christian point me to my Lord and Savior as a fighter. As a Christian, I have no duty to allow myself to be cheated, but I have the duty to be a fighter for truth and justice. For as a Christian, I have also a duty to my own people," end quote. Far too many of our race have fallen victim to Jewish deception. Every white man who will not bend the knee to the living Christ is a traitor, selling his blood birthright to vampires and demons of self-centered indulgence, greed, and ego. Self-interest and self-gratification are, in truth, treason at this hour of history towards the white race. If our race is to survive, let all white men seek to please God, as did Adolf Hitler and National Socialist Germany. We will not separate God from the body politic, church from state, nor the body of Christ from government. We will only separate ourselves from evil. There's a great misconception and disinformation with respect to the position of Christianity and the Third Reich. Wild assertions being that the Germany of the 1930s was rife with an anti-Christian attitude or sympathetic to the Norse paganism, or even more absurd, allegations of occult affiliations. But as we've seen with the exposure of Wotanism above, the modern creations are a fantasy and overtly reject Jesus Christ just as much as any Antichrist Jew. Millions of German people enjoyed a renaissance of real Christian theology during this era of righteous nationalism. The same cannot be said with white nationalism today that has no leader like Hitler to lead them to Christ and fighting the Jew. We have a parallel in America today with a no-nonsense apostolic Christian theology called Christian identity. And once again, the enemies of God are doing everything they can to utterly destroy it. Jews and shameless white Odinists are hand in hand, equally slandering the good news of deliverance, of being saved from our enemies. We have a modern model of positive Christianity to guide us into overcoming the adversaries of God and our race. Through the prism of history, we can discern what they did right and what they did wrong. Christianity has always been under attack to a greater or lesser degree, but especially when Jews are allowed to enter a host nation. The effectual moral influence of the Bible begins to lose force on the reformation of man being repentant and obedient to God when there is a proximity to evil. The Jewish presence simply compromises Jewish ethics and undermines godly government with ungodly economics. The Jew and the Christian cannot coexist. Quoting from Mein Kampf, Hitler said, "Once when I was walking through the inner city, I suddenly came across a being in a long caftan with black sidelocks. My first thought was, is that a Jew? I watched the man stealthily and cautiously, but the longer I stared at that strange countenance and studied it feature by feature, the more the question formed in my mind, is that a German?" End quote. Likewise, we white Christian Americans today have formed just the opposite evaluation of strangers by being colorblind, tolerant, and lawless. We have lost our biblical mandate to discriminate as if it's something bad, in accord with divine law. Quote, "Do not have trust in every spirit." Now, the word spirit here is synonymous with person. Do not trust in every person, but scrutinize, meaning discriminate, whether the spirits are from God. This is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit who confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And that no spirit is from God which does not acknowledge this about Jesus. Such is the spirit of the Antichrist, of whose coming you have heard, and it is already in the world. The Jewish Antichrist, within the last century, have fomented the moral inversion of calling good evil and evil good. In 1933, because of the rise of the Third Reich, world Jewry declared war on Germany to sustain their institutional perversions and legalizations of depravity. And here is a facsimile of the London Daily Express front page story in March 24th, 1933. I mentioned point 24 of the National Socialist Party program earlier that remains unchanged and unwavering since it was written by Adolf Hitler in 1920. It reads in full part, quote, "We demand liberty for all religious denominations in the state so far as they are not a danger to it and do not militate against the morality and moral sense of the German race. The party, as such, stands for positive Christianity, but does not bind itself in the matter of creed to any particular confession. It combats the Jewish materialistic spirit within and without us, and is convinced that our nation can achieve permanent health from within only on the principle, the common interest before self-interest," end quote. And then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Same principle. Do you think that C.I. Schofield, Billy Graham, Rick Warren, or Joel Osteen would last very long in a true Christian nation? It's an historical fact that Adolf Hitler was a devout and reverent Christian who showed the world that when it came to taking the helm of a nation, such an accomplishment was not dependent upon numbers as much as it was upon the iron will and courage to stand for the truth. During this period of time, when positive Christianity blossomed, there were more churches built than at any other time in German history. The spiritual revival of true Christianity impacted the life of the regenerated folk, and the forces of evil didn't like that one bit. Before we examine what is meant by the affirmation of positive Christianity and National Socialism, let's expose our traditional rival in politics and religion, namely liberalism. The liberal disturbs the unity of our race. They spoil and menace the spirit of a nation. They sprout up all kinds of do-gooder humanitarian missions of mercy, only to represent strange and questionable doctrines in order to accuse true Christians of heresy. The liberal works to strike a blow at the solidarity of an organic national body of Christ by sowing discord among the brethren, by encouraging splinter groups, and to aid and abet international movements like the World Council of Churches and the United Nations. We even have them in Christian Identity, and thankfully are quickly extinguished when they show their true colors. Religious liberty does not mean a wild, undesirable growth of non-Christian belief systems, contrary to biblical prohibitions against strange gods. We are asking for trouble and heartache when the liberal idea of including all small g gods into a society becomes a free-for-all. This causes confusion of mind and is detrimental to the cause of Christ. As mentioned earlier, a favorite scheme of liberals is the catchphrase separation of church and state. This is based on the traditional morals that must be removed from secular culture, from government, and from the laws of the land. Special interest groups always provoke cultural division. The philosophers of academia have favored one aspect of our culture over another. Thereby, all other races of interest have been rejected or regarded as unimportant, including Christianity. This was and is a very clever trick to separate the temporal from the sacred while mixing the races. This liberal principle is totally opposed to the nature of positive Christianity and National Socialism. The whole new meaning of life in Germany was the white man's desire to leave behind the splinters and divisions, the mutual distrust, suspicion, and hostility, and instead form a coordinated culture with one spirit common to all, a community that connects God and government. If these liberals wish to conduct their experiments of social engineering, let them go elsewhere to do it. America is a Christian nation, no matter how many Jews or atheists scream and holler. Church and state are the left and right arms of the body of Christ, and it's impossible for each to remain aloof of the other. An even greater problem than separation of church and state is the antagonism and open hostility against the Christian nation. Attacks against Jesus Christ and his followers on the soil more closely corresponds to the evil spirit of Jewish materialism, which manifests itself in the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917 with the mass murder of millions of white Christians. And the Germans were well aware of this history of Jewish atrocities, but Americans were not. Because the Jews wised up and managed to gain control of the media and how we get information. The good news is that we cannot identify ourselves as the true Israel without debunking the Jewish assertion. Positive Christianity identifies anything negative to Christ. National Socialism, on the other hand, testified at every turn how great is the power of the Christian spirit, perpetually striving to awaken man's noblest instincts, summoning him to obey the laws of God, to respect their kinsmen, to deny thyself, and take up the cross daily, to sacrifice for the good of all. Those who promote anti-Christian activities or remain silent in tolerance of such evil do not grasp the significance of today's message. They are trespassing on hallowed ground. Those of you who grasp what I'm saying, act now. React to your lethal enemies who would kill you if they could. When you defend the faith and race, you are exercising the God-given right to self-defense. We must remove one more misconception that identity Christians have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt with a preponderance of evidence, and that is Christianity and Judaism are mutually exclusive. We did not get our Bible from Jews. Jesus Christ was not a Jew. He was a white, Adamic, Caucasian Aryan. Jews are congenital liars. It's in their blood. There can be no greater absurdity than to associate the Christian faith as Jewish. This contention is divisive to the peace of our people. The white nationalist pagans who callously describe Christ as a Jew on a stick are sticking with the Jews and not their own race. Another slander is the false accusation of Hitler worship. National Socialism was not a new religion. It was a return to the pure and original first century worship of Jesus Christ and honoring his teachings by implementing them into the body politic. The Fuhrer never allowed reverence to himself, which was reserved only for God Almighty. Jewish slander and defamation has the intention of prejudicing the majority of already brainwashed churches against the truth of what I'm telling you today. In the 1930s, Germany was a pillar amongst nations, acting as the strongest bulwark against the forces of darkness threatening to overthrow Christian culture. Nowhere was the sinister and diabolical strength of Jewish supremacy for world dominion more effectively repulsed and rejected than in National Socialist Germany. And the parasite has never forgotten, let alone forgiven, the host, removing it from the easy pickings. The real tragedy for our race is how the Jew got Christians to engage in a world war under the appalling delusion that they must kill their brethren over the very beliefs they would mutually defend. Adolf Hitler showed the world the mercy and loving kindness of positive Christianity at the Battle of Dunkirk, where he could have killed all the British troops that were surrounded, and thus winning and ending the war. The Jewish allies showed the world just the opposite in their satanic bombing of Dresden and forced starvation deaths of millions of white Christians after the war. And today these same devils bleed us dry, and hardly a word is said. Won't you help us get the word out? There will be a part two explaining many other things that justify positive Christianity and the true things they did in line with God's law. Thank you.